그래, 나는 좀 가상 열심히 버렸으나 이제 음식이 저기 내 당부와 님는 지금 소리야 한 당부 저기 가서 우리 아니 재검 재고래서 되니 재검제 되니 재검제네 되니 아니 지금 공급이 규제 공로 공단 간에서 다 아니 되니게 저기 운도신의 재검제 세위에 제라 하는 건 저기 다 제시는 미백의 유의대를 미백 신의 주비하다 제딩의 전 주비하 도신의 다 탈바다 탐지 김비고 뭐 토비하게 된다라 남님의 지금 당부 재검제 한 재검 약보제 세위에 제라야 그러니까 제시는 미백의 신의 주비 조금 되게 도시에 오래 해서 도시 때까지 도시 송발에 지나다 되니 담 다지게 아주 검제 탈바 탐지 김비고 뭐 토해서 냠는 제겐라 아니 재검 재고 말에 안지엄제디 안지마셰기 지미샹달레셰가 소소레 냠네지모고 샹달레셰바 케바루 제베이나 안지셰 케바루 차베네 디제오르마도 조금지고 말했음 디삼노다디기 노르리스 제자다 조금제겐지네 녀리아 조금제바데 온도 조고레스 조금제 조고레스 제자 데 디네지 온도 조금제 디니지 조금제고레스 다 조금제겐이네 탈바다 탐제키메 고방도야라 된다 조금제바인자 디젤이야 조금 세우셔라 조금 지어버려 조금 맞으나 이제 탈바다 지금 먹고 봐 또 두고 말해 지나다 먼저 탈바다 탐지 지금 먹고 봐 토해라 조금 지겐 지내 조금 지어버려 조금 나 조금 니가 지어버려 조금 지겐 내 조금 지어버려 지나 조금 나 조금 니가 지내 조금 해서지 어 가서 나한테 디고를 마시버려
Good morning. So last night we looked at how For beginners, those who are still aspire to generate a path, it's imperative that we apply ourselves to analytical meditation. So meditation that is based on knowledge being acquired and using reasoning to come to cultivate the Dharma within. Thereafter, one needs to combine that with placement meditation, single points of concentration, in order to generate a mental path, which is required in order to progress towards enlightenment. So this is the indispensable sequence. And this was presented by Lama Tsongkhapa to refute a common misconception about meditation, which is that there are those who are striving for enlightenment. They have this deep yearning to become enlightened. They only should engage in placement meditation. They only need to develop calm abiding and put in ever more powerful calm abiding. This is an error. And similarly, with these people with this misunderstanding, they would say the only people who need to engage in analytical meditation are those who are highly learned. Those who are highly learned only become learned so that they can pass on information. They have no wish for enlightenment, therefore they only need to engage in analytical meditation. So when Lama Tsongkhapa refuted this, we saw that he presented clearly that practitioners all need to engage in both types of meditation. It's imperative to cultivate knowledge and to meditate with analysis, with critical thinking on that knowledge. And when this is deep and stable within oneself, then one is ready to, the same person needs to then engage in placement meditation, calm abiding, and develop these two then sequentially. So this is the indispensable, the sole method by which one can attain enlightenment. And all practitioners, whether alone in solitude or whether in community, need to engage in these two types of meditation.
chobe midobe tingye zin jubkwe laas, nga rado jego maana tingye zin jibwe kesun gyuro nyamdo mizung deyesa.
Returning to the text, so where we concluded last night, in the handout near the top of page 64, the second paragraph, in the published book, it's last paragraph on page 55. That the idea that you must achieve a non-conceptual concentration that allows you to place the mind on a single object as you wish, and that if you do a lot of analytical meditation beforehand, it will prevent the arising of concentration is contrary to the present instructions.
On that, I'm not here to see the Dangan, Tarbat and Temje, Yokoma, Tweke, Lam Yam Lig Jimba, Dinma, Dushina, Sungbe, Delia, and Sem Miba Chila, Jitter, Dudu, Shabby, Chopi, Midubi, Dingins in Tukula, Sidida, and Tarbat and Temje, Yokoma, Hawatela, Sem Zichidu, Nishi Miba Chilia, Zichidu, Jitter, Dudu, Gazin, Yambra Shah, Duban, and Shah Tweke, and Midobeki. 진행이 주고래서도 신행이 주고래서 미도배 진행이 나도 신행이고래 신행이 주고래서야지 온 숨을 담고 주고래라 해야 돼.
Just looking at this first sentence, the idea that you must achieve a non-conceptual concentration that allows you to place the mind on a single object as you wish. Here, non-conceptual concentration means a calm abiding or single points of concentration. So this is building on what was, or continuing what was presented last night. So Lama Tsongkhapa is going to refute this idea that we looked at last night, that those, the idea that you must achieve single points of concentration, shamatha, non-conceptual concentration, that allows you to place your mind on a single object as you wish. Continues, and that if you do a lot of analytical meditation beforehand, it will prevent the arising of concentration or non-conceptual concentration. So what is now being presented is a view which is mistaken, which is that if one engages in a lot of analytical meditation and thereafter tries to develop calm abiding, one will struggle to do so because the analytical meditation will serve as an obstacle to the later cultivation of a non-conceptual consciousness or calm abiding. So this is a view which is to be refuted, that because Lama Tsongkhapa has presented the need to engage in first analytical and then placement meditation. Here then someone is expressing a doubt that, but if one first engages in extensive analytical meditation, later that will serve as an obstacle to the generation of placement meditation. What Lama Tsongkhapa here is first presenting a common misunderstanding in order to be able to clearly refute it. So the misunderstanding is this, that If one engages in analytical meditation, because one is using a lot of thought, of conceptual thought, this will obstruct one when later trying to develop placement or single-pointed concentration. Because by engaging in analytical meditation, one is through analysis, one's mind is engaged in conceptual thought. Through this habituation, it will be difficult to develop non-conceptual concentration. And therefore, so this wrong view leads to the conclusion, and therefore, do not start out by engaging in analytical meditation, in analysis. Start out with placement meditation. That is where one should start. That is the beginning point. So this is the mistaken view that Lama Tsongkhapa is presenting in order then to refute.
And in that other jigi then ma garasungor sene anjile jegom nangju ge tharba da thamji chimbo gomo thoba nyemlen chebala jegom gogore jogom gogore niga gogores jesana jegom da jogom ni thebe thoba da sanbe ge thesam jibe kabla ni jegom chigores diso nyemlen gi jimbare saji ode du sene gyumje ma u daje de sungor wada de sungor bi ge gyumje garasene ni jik ओदाजी थारबा थमजी जिबो गोबो थबाला जेगुम जेगो मारे सेयाना जेगुम जेगो मारे नि जेगुम जेना अनि तिगे दिन जेवाले युगिते जेसा दांबो खन जेगो माजेजे नि गोमजे गोमजे याचिन दिगे सेयाजी सुंगा जियोरबा देनिगे सुंगो योरबा देनि देनि एजादि जिगो मारे सेयाशिदा अनदा देनि याची थ्वसम जिबे कदि न्यमनेरा मारे न्यमने सेयादि गोमजे दिरे थ्वसम जिबे कपदि अनि नि जिगे न्यमने मारे सेयाजी ओदुसमदा दिसु जिगो मारे चिदा दिनी एजादा जेरिम जिगिम बे जिग जुमसे मंगु जिग सुमजेने जेजादा गा जिग थारबा थामजे जिबे गोबादा नेमने जेबाला दांबो जेगुमजे समदा जेबाजे सिमजे याखु हाखोन देने पाति दिङेदिन न्यमबा शुजे दिङेदिन जुपसिने जुपसि नेमने जेगोरे निगा जेगोर मादो निगा माजेबा अनि थारबा थामजे जिबे गोबा थुगु मारे से ओदुसिन्दा दिनीगे जिगे
The presentation of Lama Tsongkhapa is very clear. All practitioners need to engage in both analytical and placement meditation. And this then is contrary to this mistaken understanding that is being presented here in order to refute. So what we had briefly referred to last night, but has already come up extensively in earlier chapters, is the specific a different sequence of training, which is first one needs to engage in extensive hearing, and then engage in extensive reflection in order to have the foundation to engage in extensive meditation. So we referenced the Lama Tsongkhapa referenced that last night, but has presented it in some detail before. And at that time, we present many reasons for this. And here we can recall those so as to refute this misunderstanding. Because the people who say one should start out by engaging in placement meditation, in other words, develop single points of concentration from the beginning, from the get-go, they are saying that in this presentation of hearing, reflecting, and meditation, and in this sequence, meditation means single points of concentration, they're saying you should not, before engaging in single points of concentration, engage in hearing and reflecting. Now that is directly contrary to what Lama Tsongkhapa has presented already in this text, in earlier chapters, which is that one has to engage in one's training in this sequence of hearing, reflecting, and meditating, because the process of hearing, which is also translated as it was last night, as in the text, as studying, this is imperative to gather information, and this needs to be reflected on through analytical meditation. So these first two steps of hearing or study and reflection, these are practice. These are training the mind. So they are not markedly different from what we would commonly understand as meditation. They are different in the sequence of hearing, reflecting, and meditation, because there the term meditation solely means single-pointed concentration, whereas analytical meditation refers to hearing and reflection. So the point that's being made here is that if one skips the first two steps of study and reflection and goes straight to meditation, one lacks the knowledge that has been gained through hearing and the certainty, the integration of that knowledge that comes through analytical meditation or reflection. And therefore, one's meditation, single point of concentration, will not go well because one has not come to understand the topic and how to achieve it, nor gain certainty in that understanding. Therefore, the sequence of hearing, reflecting, and meditating, this is irrefutable and indispensable. So where it says in our text, and that if you do a lot of analytical meditation beforehand, it will prevent the arising of concentration, single point of concentration, is contrary to the present instructions. Lama Tsongkhapa here is saying, your view that one should embark immediately on placement meditation because analytical meditation obstructs the cultivation of single point of concentration is completely wrong. In reality, it's actually the other way around. By engaging in extensive analytical meditation, the achievement of placement meditation becomes significantly easier. So therefore, one must first engage in analytical meditation in order to be successful in later placement meditation. And to get this point home to those who are struggling to overcome their wrong view, then Lama Tsongkhapa presents an illustration. For example, a skillful goldsmith burns gold or silver in the fire and washes it in water again and again, removing all the impurities and making it very pliant, so that it can be made into whatever jewelry one wishes, such as earrings.
Nagyan la sobe jancha chi dhe 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 amchol daya sogo na, nukul daya sogo na, kyele daya sona, karo sve na sve tuku wala che, sve tuku duwaas. Che san di ser di dangbo na, ser di rayo na, karo na sve tuku min duwaas. Che san di pa zhe jang se me se, teni dung me se, chu chu se dung, sopa di kinyin na, me ba cha dhugo re, me ba cha dhe, kyun di ke se yung dhe, teni jancha karo sve na sve tuku wala che, o du bhe dhe 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 sung duwa. Dan di ngang zoge, Jitinbiki, Chawansan, Semlia, Manzu Chalitibu, Tungtibu, Hau Kobo Chai, Hau Kodibu, Arwa, Tenzan Bidi Sungtua.
In this illustration, Lama Tsongkhapa is using this illustration because it's something that can be very easily understood in the world, which is that any prospector knows that if you find gold, one doesn't find a glistening piece of gold, but it's still encased in rock. And that cannot be, that is not yet suitable to be fashioned into jewelry or ornaments, but requires quite extensive purification. It needs to be refined through various techniques, as Lama Tsongkhapa mentions here, to clear away the impurities, and then also to treat the gold so that it becomes eventually soft and pliable. And only through following a particular process can the gold become soft and pliable, enabling it to be fashioned into whatever jewelry or ornament one wishes to make. So this then is an illustration Lama Tsongkhapa uses because it is very easy to understand. This illustration then can be likened to our situation, which is like an unrefined piece of gold. Our mind can be likened to an unrefined piece of gold in that we find ourselves with a lot of mistaken understandings and a vast lack of knowledge about the varying topics of the Dharma, as well as imprints of extensive negativities accumulated in this life and lives previous to this. And this has come about through primarily not knowing about cause and effect, having no idea about this presentation, and moreover, not having faith in a spiritual teacher, not having knowledge about how to train the mind, and therefore not being able to do so, as well as not seeing the pervasiveness of faults in samsara, but actually seeing samsara in quite the opposite way, as seeing samsara as having many pleasures which are worthy of striving for and taking enjoyment in. So these are all illustrations of the ignorance of not knowing. So recognizing that there is we have so many mistaken conceptions, mistaken understandings, which equates to a deep lack of knowledge. We can, through recognizing that, we can recognize the solution. The solution to a lack of knowledge is the gathering of knowledge, is gaining an education. So therefore, by recognizing that like an unrefined piece of gold, our mind lacks knowledge and lacks information. And this can be eliminated through the process of gathering knowledge. Returning to the text. Likewise, at first you meditate on the afflictions, the secondary afflictions, non-virtuous actions and their effects in the case of bad conduct, and the faults of cyclic existence in the order in which they are presented. By meditating with analytical wisdom on such faults again and again, you become completely downhearted or mentally dejected, like burning gold in fire, whereby you turn away from the non-virtuous side and clear away those defilements. So here, Lama Tsongkhapa is laying out where we need to start to gather knowledge. And here this expression or this statement of gathering knowledge doesn't refer to mere intellectual gathering, but also a deep reflection to come to understand it. So likewise, at first you meditate on the afflictions. This refers to the six root afflictions: ignorance, anger, attachment, jealousy, pride, and wrong views, as well as the 20 secondary afflictions. So these need to be understood because these are the causes of our suffering. And from this, from these afflictions, we come to recognize that non-virtuous actions follow. Non-virtuous actions follow from when the motivation is afflicted. And then these non-virtuous actions can be expressed through physical behavior or through speech. And in this way, we create causes of bad conduct, non-virtuous actions and their effects. So the results that follow from such non-virtuous actions. This needs to be known.
On that any gain, you do get deposited, DB Jibu the Caressin and Jedan, the Jibu so Jedan, DJibu the Caressin and Setelia, Ganga Dunga, Nyahatna, and Gavachimas on the Corby Nimic, Yawa, Yeda, Dundro, and the Chig, and also the Gieda, the Niki, and the Jibu, the Ungor, Eset, Jedan, Jedan, Corby Nimic, on Dusine, Nimic, Gomba. ཁྱི ཕྱད མི ཁྱི ཕྱི ndigi debo kawaki wasan kowal pa ke nga sol ma ke da kowal ke ne dine dunga nyong wa cha go de debo di yung go re se du sta sam ta je dine gi kol bi gi dunga sam ta da dunga yung ju dine 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 yung go re se du ta di su jo je ba che ro da je je gom cha go ro dine sam ta de yu dine cha yo mo ba ke na an kon ro sa gi do wa kon ro sa na lunga gi jo ba du sha li do wa 另外就把杜家里呢先来那边叫我去的话那边叫我去呢你给地方塞过来是来塞过来但你给地方开用的时候呢可多人来让来买几位先来那边用过干嘛这样用过来你给蒙古班的叫我去买什么单呢可完了把钱给我送来接的就你给你弄完用过来塞过来是不是都去那什么单就你给什么单就你去那样的样子什么单都去接的你给
我那人真的是因为发生了，顶给明白这等等，真的用过了，甚至给上面的好过样的，那个什么的是呢？真的，我他的得来的课，得给那刚刚有得来的太过过了，甚至给上面是那个的话，其实课完他完了，可以弄个具体的办过了，甚至给上面是那个的话，都是那上面的结果没得，人家的结果没得，实际上真的上面当过了也是的，就是你觉得那？
你们公了，公罢了，说革命军话，但是现在俺们这革命军话，但是呢，这个话写过了，现在没你，俺就几乎穷于南边，几乎穷于南边，南边这边写的，搞不了，可以俺说公婆的写过了，没得嘛，搞不实际搞说军话，但是现在军话，但是现在毛办呢？你几乎，嗯，紧张，等你搞不嘛，等你送过了，可别你们上大他的，等你给，嗯，可别你们考完了呀。
Here, what we've been instructed to reflect on is the result of that of non-virtue leads to all suffering in this and lives to come. In other words, the variety of sufferings of samsara, including rebirth in the lower realms. So here in these couple of lines, Lama Tsongkhapa mentions the whole process by which this works. From a motivation that is afflicted, in other words, through these root and secondary afflictions, we speak in a way that's unwholesome. We act in a way that is unwholesome. And this leads to the accumulation of non-virtuous karma. And when this non-virtuous karma ripens, if it ripens at the time of death, it will lead to rebirth in the lower realms. And if it ripens during a life, it leads to suffering experiences. So therefore, this ongoing suffering that we experience has all come about due to the unwholesome karma that we have accumulated under the influence of our afflictions. This is the process that keeps us bound in this prison of samsara, that keeps us continuing to circle within samsara, rebirth after rebirth. So here we are being encouraged to reflect on this again and again, coming to recognize how we are bound in this prison, lifetime after lifetime, and that this prison has been constructed by ourselves. This prison is constructed by our own afflictions and non-virtuous karma. We need to reflect on this deeply so that when it arises, this understanding arises from the depths of our hearts, it will arise as a determination to gain liberation from samsara, freedom from samsara, to definitely emerge from these suffering realms of samsara. And to get to this point requires all these meditations, all of which are analytical meditations. And one should engage, as Lama Tsongkhapa says, in these meditations in the order in which they are presented. And that refers to what is to come in the text, starting in a couple of pages, where we have first the training shared with the practitioner of initial capacity, the foundation by which one develops both a strength of mind and a focus beyond this life, which is an indispensable inner development in order to successfully engage in the trainings which are shared with a practitioner of intermediate capacity. So that there is what is meant by training in the order in which they are presented. Lama Tsongkhapa then continues, by meditating with analytical wisdom on such faults again and again. So this term we have translated as analytical wisdom on the previous page was translated as wisdom of fine investigation. But what it comes down to is the same thing, is we need to meditate with analysis, with reasoning, again and again on the sequence, recognizing how it is through the arisal of an affliction, and in particular when that affliction then influences our resulting physical behavior or verbal speech, that we create imprints on the mind, and these are non-virtuous imprints that results in suffering. And the suffering that one result that follows are this wide variety of experiences of suffering in samsara. So here, there are many topics that need to be reflected on to do with the afflictions, root and secondary, as well as the entire presentation on cause and effect, and then the presentations on the sufferings in the lower realms and the higher realms as divided in the 3, 6, and 8-fold divisions. All of these need to be reflected on repeatedly over a sustained period in order to bring their result. So by meditating with analytical wisdom on such faults again and again, here comes the result. You become completely downhearted or mentally dejected. So what this refers to is that one now becomes disenchanted with samsara. One has come now to recognize with certainty that samsara has no essence. In other words, there is no actual pleasure worth striving for. There's no actual pleasure worth rejoicing in attaining, as long as that is a pleasure that is still bound within samsara. This is the type of disenchantment or being downhearted or mentally dejected that one wants to generate. And then Lama Tsongkhapa continues by likening this to burning gold in fire, whereby you turn away from the non-virtuous side and clear away those defilements. So just like in the analogy earlier, through this process of gathering knowledge and integrating it through reflection, so hearing and reflection, which is the process of analytical meditation, one purifies your mind of the confusion of ignorance, so this confusion of not knowing, this lack of knowledge. One is gathering knowledge and integrating that knowledge. And thereby, the confusion or lack of knowledge, that type of ignorance is being purified, as well as the delusion of believing that there is happiness in samsara that is worth striving for, that's worth rejoicing in attaining, but rather recognizing that the only happiness that's worthy of striving for is the happiness of being liberated from samsara, the lasting stable happiness of liberation.
And then I'm going to get the order she have been now. I'm going to do some that's in your mobile, but the Julia, control Iata, and the Shadia, the Anzuki, that's a good to push you about Anzuki, Shania, Nibichawa, Cheva, the Sibora, and also Surang, Jinjahansa, Hakurua, Santa Dusin, Hakuadu, that the name has to do the kind of younger, you got a younger recipe, Jujia, and Chiki, and Dresha. Contro, and digida, deeper side sagores, just not digi devo then, the native the current warrison, and the devo di, and ma, and the Yakap Corona in there, Tupachasona, Serang Makio, Sham Makio, Ganga Kudutera, Yungores. The Langabasa in the di devo da, Yava, Ida, Dunasola, Guinea, that one Yungas, Yungurwa, and big, the native two, Sin Jevaja, how go you do, di Shula.
We present this then clearly. We need to recognize the sequence that from afflictions such as attachment and anger, conflict follows. And this conflict can be expressed in different ways. From anger, it's very clear. When anger arises, we try to repel a situation or a person. So that's quite clear as conflict. Attachment works in a similar process in that the conflict is expressed through wanting to gain something, wanting to fulfill our needs, even if at the expense of others. So we need to look at this process, how from afflictions follows harmful behavior. Behavior that leads to the accumulation of non-virtuous inference and future suffering. So here I encourage you to look at it in both sequences, how from afflictions follow non-virtuous behavior of body and speech, as well as from the opposite direction, how one's body and physical behavior and speech, when it's non-virtuous, follows from the afflictions. So look at it from both ways, so as to gain certainty in this process. Moreover, to recognize that it is this process that leads to the accumulation of non-virtuous karma, which is expressed in this wide variety of sufferings, whether it's rebirths in the lower realms or the higher realms, and all the experiences of suffering within there come about independent on this process. And we need to look at it again and again to recognize how our actions continue to keep us bound within this prison, circling lifetime to lifetime to lifetime, coming to the point where we become disenchanted or downhearted or mentally dejected about this process, where we become fed up with this process, seeing that this is no good, this has to end, I have to bring it to an end now. That determination, with a strength that it is sustained, is what we need to cultivate, and this is the process by which we do so.
Anda dini ke dosmora, le dini aja dengan tu sebur bah, dengan tu perlu cikcikhe, yang dengan dia cikang sambat ini, penang orang tu ke cikuk subur, nugu yeme kalade, cik nugu yeba dah hamogo ini, dengan tu kalade sahaja, jeliya, ane kalade ke jenjen subur, nyeba dah, nasi cuma dah kengah cikur bah, tapi dengan tu ke penang, tapi penang jin nasi yang tu sih, dengan tu kalade, kalau nugu yeme kalade ke nugu yeme yeme how cheba che phachi de o kala ji sana ni gor se pening ne ji ke himuro shena di kala ji sana ji ko ne ga phi muro jor de na de ji sana ni gor os pu ni gor wa ne ji ne na ze de che che de ne ga ga shu chi mu ti gor wa de ne ji shim ju che de ji de ne kala ji sana de ji na de ni we di san di ni gor se se de ha go yo de de na go de o da di di na sa ba na na ji di yong gor na ji na ga ga de da di ga ga de le ta go zu me sam da ji ga ga ta go je sa ga ga yong ye ge ju di de kala ji su re sha ka zo de ji de sa ki mi do san be ge da de ga go se be ge sam lo ji ne de je na du su de shim ju che ne di ju kala ji su ge ne ge yo ba da ha go yo de de sa sa ye ge de ba yin de ba de ba ga ya ga ya da nu ga 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 de le ta de ge sam ba di ta ya le ya and you don't want your duty and it's just kala disuresha sampe ke dushin da kai ga samu yungu yoba dinga zu sebu ro wa da di ne ga sa ye shimbu shi yobe na go ofsa na ade di zeg me ma le nu gi yesen za gi omar wa da un zu sa ye ge de chu ne ya kang fu ne pa ke ti ka go ro wa da ji
give an illustration which should make this abundantly clear. If we do not know that a particular type of food is unhealthy, why shouldn't we eat it? Why shouldn't we indulge and enjoy it? But if we know that it's unhealthy, then based on that knowledge, we can avoid eating it. So for example, if someone receives a diagnosis of diabetes, they will, with that diagnosis, be told what food types to avoid. So they have the knowledge to avoid those food types. But knowledge alone, as we know, is not always sufficient to change deeply ingrained habitual patterns. So a person with diabetes, when presented with their favorite cake, the desire for the cake will arise, attachment will arise, and that attachment will easily overcome the mind. Overcome the mind that says cake should be avoided, and will overcome the mind by presenting many reasons why this cake, this one slice, can be enjoyed, and then it will be. But if the diabetic has thought very well about the consequences of their diabetes, and thereby given rise to determination to do all that they can to not compound their illness, the strength of that determination, so this knowledge which has now been integrated through extensive analysis, The strength of this will lead to them easily declining the cake. And easily in the sense of their mind is not troubled. They can easily say, no thank you. So this comes about through reflecting well on the desired goal and what is preventing us from achieving it and what enables us to achieve it. And when that reflection has been done well, one can readily change one's behavior. It's no longer a challenge. It's no longer difficult to change our behavior.
And the Nigi, Dustin and Zuki Jebachi, Sosoto Beshereki, Nimi Kori, Nimi, Dunga, Yagi, Gude, Dusi, Samda, Hako Yodu, No Kori, Kori, Dungale, and Nichi, that Yahoo Minu Sempeke, Samno Chidan, Dele Tauko, Sempeke, Samno, Undus Yungres, Dioi did that, Samno D, the Koalang, Yungi Samno Chagua, Koalang, Koale Tadu, Kyushiki, somebody, D, and Menashin, yes, may serve, sir, may serve, and Chiba, yes, Dusi. Na dine dinyo de an dige samlo de kharcho se na shole yi chobar chi gre se de da dine ge samlo ye de dige jen che ne de dibi che le ga che ya dang shen le ne be chawa che ya dige pa an de chi pa ga che ne pa ga go re che na chole na cho nam le yi chir chobar che se de chir cho pa zon su ran ge le ba na jwa ji da de yi ang jin samlo na le ya Dinigi Tiba Chia, Dantin Chia, Tichiorwa, Sungoma, that Chirchovas, Dinigi Gunji Toyo, or that is Yigme, Sembe, some type, Sungyag, Sung Semligor, Sung December, Churimse, Sung December, Ligorwa, Chirchova Chigures, Chesan Chirchova Chedun, Jima Jamba, Sidu, Digi, and the Dishin, Mansun Yomova, some near, some of the Tipa, Gagorwa, Jongla, said this Sungorwa.
This is that illustration about refraining from certain food types presents exactly what we need to do here. Reflect on the sufferings of samsara or the various faults of samsara and what leads to our current predicament and what will otherwise be our ongoing predicament. We need to reflect on this very deeply. When one has reflected very deeply on the faults of samsara as well as the causes for being bound in samsara, this will lead to a determination to emerge from these suffering realms, definite emergence or renunciation. To get to that point is likened here like burning gold in fire. So what we are doing is purifying our mind of the defilements to the extent where we can give rise to a sustained determination to emerge from samsara. And the result of this mind of definite emergence, and the text continues, whereby you turn away from the non-virtuous side and clear away those defilements. When one gives rise to definite emergence, it becomes very easy to turn away from accumulating further causes for suffering. Becomes very easy to turn away from being influenced by the afflictions. In other words, the practice of ethical restraint becomes so much easier. No longer an effort, no longer one having to strain oneself to restrain one's mind from coming under the influence of the afflictions. Because one sees that affliction as presenting the grave danger that it does. And therefore, with joy, with delight, one lets go of following the afflictions and rather sees oneself as gaining something than missing out by not following the afflictions. This quality of ethical restraint follows the arisal of definite emergence. Definite emergence comes from reflecting deeply on the faults of samsara and the causes that lead to such sufferings.
And the Shinji Yundin Dang, the Jun Dun Chewa Dang, Gonjo Sumji Yundin Dang, Garbu Le Redang, Janshu Yi Simji Payan So, Ki Gabne Junga Dar, said Taddy, and the Shi Kiwi Shinji, the Ganya Josarwang to Kiwi Shinji, Tinsu Payan Yundin, Timbe Payan, Matimbe Nimi, and Kiwi Shinji, maybe Devakia, Dong Kubo Kumia, Tigima, the Share, what the Ganshun. Taddy Dun Chewa Dang, Gonjo Yundin said,
Continuing in the text. Next, you meditate on the excellent qualities of the spiritual friend. So this is the one major outline, meditation topic that we have presented, where one meditates on the qualities of the spiritual teacher and his great kindness in order to develop faith and trust in the spiritual teacher. So that's been presented. Then Lama Tsongkhapa continues. The preciousness of the freedom and endowments, the excellent qualities of the three jewels, virtuous actions and their effects, the benefits of bodhicitta, and so on. So these are the topics all still to be presented in the order in which they are presented. So as before, Lama Tsongkhapa is saying the graduated stages of the Lamrim are presented in the graduated sequence in which we must train our mind. So this is the sequence that we should all train in. And then the text continues. By meditating with the wisdom of fine investigation on such excellent qualities again and again, your mind becomes drenched with them, and you develop clarifying faith, like washing gold with water, whereby you turn towards the virtuous side and take delight in it. Thus the mind is saturated with virtuous qualities. Lama Tsongkhapa here is presenting the sequence by which we need to train our mind, starting with the topic that has already been presented and is being meditated on, that of recalling the many qualities of one's spiritual teacher, the qualities as expressed through his behavior, his speech, and his mental qualities, and do so in order to generate a deep and abiding faith or trust in one's teacher. Then the second outline was to recall his tremendous kindness so as to develop a deep respect for the teacher. Thereafter, to meditate on the great benefits of relying on a spiritual teacher and the faults of not doing so. So these are all steps of analytical meditation wherein one uses wisdom of fine investigation to meditate on these various points, to give rise to them in a powerful and transformative manner, so that one is certain, or so that one is definite about wanting to strive in each of the subsequent topics that the teacher presents, which then starts with the very next one, which is that on our freedoms and endowments that we have all achieved, those 18 qualities. And there the meditation, once again, is analytical, where one uses one's wisdom of fine investigation to reflect on the great difficulty with which one achieves a precious human rebirth, a rebirth marked by the 8 freedoms and the 10 endowments, and the great rarity of such a rebirth. And then furthermore, its great benefit, the great purpose that can be achieved to give rise to a deep valuing of this opportunity that we have. Thereafter, we reflect on its impermanence, and we come to the reflections on the 3 jewels, where we look at the quality of each of the jewels and so forth. And then there comes the presentation on cause and effect, where one looks at the causes that will lead to a rebirth in the higher realms, so that we do not fall into the lower realms, and also look at the causes that are required to enable our ongoing progression and eventual attainment of liberation and enlightenment. Thereafter comes the presentation on bodhicitta, where one comes to recognize how we have a close and intimate relationship with all beings, and how they are in the same predicament as us, as still some ordinary samsaric beings, still facing the very real potential of falling into the lower realms, and thereby generating through the bearing meditations bodhicitta. And this meditation on bodhicitta, like the preceding meditations mentioned here, we utilize analytical meditation, or the wisdom of fine investigation, repeatedly over a sustained period. And this is the process by which we bring about radical transformation of our very being, our very way of thinking. In what's been read, by meditating with the wisdom of fine investigation on such excellent qualities again and again, here we see a few key points being reiterated by Lama Tsongkhapa, that one needs to meditate with the wisdom of fine investigation, in other words, to engage in analytical meditation, and not to do so from time to time, but to do so again and again, repeatedly over a sustained period, looking at, as has been mentioned above, primarily the faults of samsara and its causes and the potential for liberation. This we need to look at again and again as our starting point, because in order to really engage in the Dharma in this life, we have to give rise to this determination for freedom. And that for that determination to be anything more than just an expression of words, but the guiding principle in our life, we have to reflect with analysis, repeatedly over a sustained period, on the sufferings of samsara and its causes. Because the result we need to come to is this disenchantment, this wish of, I do not want this to continue any longer. It has to end in this life. I need to bring it to an end in this life. And that then leads to what to do about it. And because of our ongoing training, we all know I need to rely on my teacher. I cannot continue to pay mere lip service to what I've heard. I need to rely wholeheartedly on his guidance and train precisely in the way that he is presenting. He, as an example of someone who has trained in this way, I will follow his example and no longer continue to waste this life. And then one applies oneself to training in the topics of precious human rebirth, its impermanence, cause and effect, and so forth, as presented, in the order in which they are presented. So this comes about in the sequence. We need to first generate this determination through using analysis repeatedly over a sustained period to bring an end to this prison of our own making. And this is a process by which we drench our mind in virtue. As Lama Tsongkhapa writes, your mind becomes drenched with them. So with these virtuous qualities, our mind becomes drenched in the Dharma, and you develop clarifying faith, like washing gold with water, whereby you turn towards the virtuous side and take delight in it. So what Lama Tsongkhapa is presenting here is that by engaging in these meditations repeatedly over a sustained period, our mind becomes dominated by these reflections. And it's likened to perhaps a parched soil that is now being soaked slowly but gently by water. That water then can be absorbed, even though the soil was initially dry and hard, and the soil can become soft and moist. And the way this is experienced in the mind is that the Dharma becomes embedded within us. The minds of the Dharma become our very natural way of thinking. They are the minds that spontaneously arise, and therefore they dominate our very thinking. This then is a mind that is now no longer dry to the Dharma. The Dharma no longer just touches on the mind and bounces off, but rather is embedded, imbued within the mind. So the mind becomes malleable, pliable, and this is now when one can radically transform oneself.
Dibi le jeba le tene, andi dewo maungpa na 코바이 동안 연구도 와서 제자 도체 삼다데 디니게 동아데 동아 녀나 따다나 저기 동아 수나 동아 미디어 바자 동아 질레 타고도 선배게 동아를 타되게 삼바 안 동아를 타야라 동아 연구 녀모바디게레 방고도 선배게 디니게 동아다 동아 연구 녀모바레 타되게 삼바 지기리에서 도체네 동아 녀모바데 녀모 온게 제고 중다 디네도 제 심주 제여도 안 심주 제여도 제바 제여도 Tarbada Tamji Kimbu Kobotoy, Tablam Diki, Chasan Shingu, Washington, and Denele, or that did Majan that happened, did Jehu to send Bebea, or I should be, Dinyam, Kuru Dumadilla, Tarduga, some of Shuchi Gedu, Dele Tarbiga, Tablam Dusunyam, Jehu to send Bege, Hakoyodu, Jebaja Hakoyodu, that did Jehu to send Binyam, Jehu to send Bege, that the Nege, Yamne Jeduga, Samba, Dunje, Dunye, Dumba Shukim, which legally is, or Daganje, Dusin, Jehum, Jehan Rimba, Ni Jehudu. Kuwe dungale tarduge samba. Ane nele tarne lam tarbiye lam nyamlin jeyegi dunba dunyu shukshinbuti gigriyeso dunda yinbuti gireda.
This is, this advice Lama Tsongkhapa is giving is ideal for where we are. We need to be reflecting now on this sequence that from our afflictions follow non-virtuous speech, non-virtuous behavior, and from that we accumulate non-virtuous karmic imprints, and when they ripen in suffering experiences, they ripen in our continued imprisonment in the suffering realms of samsara. And as mentioned earlier, meditate in this forward sequence as well as the reverse sequence, we're seeing that we are bound in this prison due to our karmic imprints, which were accumulated by our non-virtuous physical and verbal behavior, which came from non-virtuous minds, afflicted minds. Reflecting on this again and again, to get to the point of being disenchanted, recognizing that there is no actual pleasure worthy of striving for, worthy of being excited about attaining, as long as it remains bound in this prison of samsara. And this is indispensable to give rise to this determination. I have to break free. I need to break the cycle. I need to gain freedom from this prison of my own making. That's the first step. When that arises in a genuine manner, we are then ready to embark on training in that very first topic, relying on the spiritual teacher. Because then we will apply ourselves to it. Because what has happened here is when we have trained well, in giving rise to definite aversions, all that we prioritize and value shifts radically. Now we see the need to gain freedom as our priority. Everything else that we are drawn to, we recognize as being a deception of the afflictions. And with ease, we let it go. Rather, we want to, and we do, apply ourselves to gathering knowledge and reflecting on that. All our other interests fall away. With that then, we'll want to apply ourselves to come to know the topic on how to rely on the spiritual teacher and to cultivate it within, applying ourselves to that both in meditation and keeping it in our mind during our other activities. And then when the trainings turn to the precious human rebirth that we've achieved, that will be the focus of our study and our reflection. Again, activities we engage in both study and reflection are activities we engage in formally as well as informally, in other words, during our daily activities. Coming to see the various key points there of the great value of what we've achieved, but its rarity and the difficulty with attaining it, but its tremendous potential or great meaning. When we've reflected well on that, we reflect on its impermanence, we reflect on cause and effect, we reflect on the Four Noble Truths to give rise to the deep, ever deeper determination for liberation, and thereafter we reflect on the various stages to give rise to bodhicitta, and then the six perfections. And throughout this process, because of our successful prior training in giving rise to the wish to bring an end to being bound in this prison of our own making, we have turned away from all these various interests that really are of this world, that just distract us. And we are applying ourselves wholeheartedly and with ease and with joy in study and reflection. So here Lama Tsongkhapa is presenting two clear steps in our analytical meditation. The first was to lead to the arisal of death and emergence through reflecting on the sequence of from the afflictions followed by non-virtuous physical and verbal behavior, leading to karmic imprints, leading to us remaining bound in the suffering realms of samsara, and giving rise thereby to the determination to gain freedom to break this cycle. That's the first stage. Then the second is then we have the focus of mind, a mind that is no longer drawn to the delights of samsara, a focus of mind to apply ourselves to the presentation in the lamrim, in the training, in the correct order in which they are presented. Lama Tsongkhapa continues, when it has been transformed in that way, whether you wish to achieve shamatha or special insight, you will achieve it without difficulty when your mind is focused on it. That is why such an analytical meditation is the best means of achieving a non-conceptual concentration. So Lama Tsongkhapa starts by saying, when it has been transformed in that way. So that refers to what has been presented above. when one has reflected well on the sufferings of samsara and the causes of the sufferings of samsara and given rise to determination to gain liberation from samsara, this, in other words, when one has generated strong, definite emergence, so that's what's when your mind has been transformed in that way. So this should be differently translated. Whether you wish maybe to leave the weather out, wishing to achieve a shamatha and then special insight, you will achieve them without difficulty when your mind is focused on it. So the translation isn't quite right because there is a definite sequence. First shamatha is achieved and then special insight or meditative insight. So maybe better translated, when it has been transformed in that way, your wish to achieve shamatha and then special insight, you will achieve them without difficulty when your mind is focused on it. So the reason that at this point one will achieve shamatha or calm abiding and then meditative insight without difficulty is because that with the generation of definite emergence, one's mind is powerful and strong. You are no longer drawn to the things that otherwise distract you. And you have a deep yearning to gain liberation, and knowing that to gain liberation, one has to achieve the union of calm abiding and meditative insight, or shamatha and special insight, you'll be able to achieve it far easier than otherwise. You'll achieve it without difficulty when your mind is focused on it. Lama Tsongkhapa continues, that is why such an analytical meditation is the best way of achieving a non-conceptual concentration. So non-conceptual concentration means shamatha, or as it's expressed here, shamatha and the union of calm abiding and meditative insight. This non-conceptual concentration is achieved independence on prior extensive analytical meditation.
이제 미도가 로랍네 로호롱 유마도바딜라 고해게 니가 여러와세 제가 디네자 다다 유미도 비팅이 진세디 띵인 진디 유 도고 말레스 레고 말레제레다 디 미도바세데 가로스 유레 제바 메제바제 미도바세 도바 유레 제바 제긴기 제바 제긴도 도바데 말레로 거다 말레스 지진이 비팅이 진세 제바 마셰바 되게 띵이 진세고 미도 비팅이 진세디 미도 베팅이 된 유라 제바 마제바 제지도 내지 베팅이 된 세월에지 마도 유디 마도 베팅이 된 레세데 고요 마레세데 아디 야노르 쇼야게 냐요 미도 베팅이 된다데
The question is just checking our translation of the last word, non-conceptual concentration. So what we have is correct. He's just saying though there is a very real possibility to misunderstand the Tibetan word, which could then have been translated as concentration that does not realize. And that would be a mistaken way to translate it. How we have it is correct, non-conceptual concentration, because it refers to a concentration that is not engaged in analysis, so shamatha, calm abiding. So what we have here is correct, but the translator could have, but did not make the mistake of translating it as concentration which does not realize. I forgot to say that if it was translated that as a concentration that does not realize, it would be confused with mind such as doubt, and that is not the case. So non-conceptual concentration refers to being able to hold the object without any distraction, any wavering at all. What Lama Tsongkhapa has been presenting here then is that in order to achieve liberation or enlightenment, it's imperative to engage in placement meditation, single-pointed concentration. But to achieve that, it's of great importance to first engage in extensive analytical meditation. There's tremendous benefit to starting with analytical meditation rather than placement meditation. And in particular, in the way that he has presented here, where one first has as the objective to develop definite emergence through reflecting on the sequence of seeing how the arisal of afflictions leads to non-virtuous speech and physical behavior, and those non-virtuous imprints, when they that are placed on the mind thereafter, when they ripen in the variety of sufferings of samsara and rebirth in the suffering realms of samsara. And then this reflection should be done both in this forward direction as well as in the reverse direction, that by meditating on suffering, answering the question, why is it that we suffer, and seeing that as the ripening of imprints which came about in dependence on afflictions, in reflecting on this again and again to generate a strong determination to gain freedom from suffering. And when this mind of definite emergence arises within one, then one engages in training in accordance with the beings of the three capacities in the precise order as presented in the Lamrim tradition. And when training in this way, training on relying on the spiritual teacher, precious human rebirth, etc., this continues the process of analytical meditation. And one will then eventually come to the point where one's definite emergence is so strong that now one is ready to engage in the cultivation first of calm abiding and then afterwards in meditative insight, gaining the union of calm abiding and meditative insight. So this is the process of placement meditation. And it will come about with relative ease, independence on the quality and the extensiveness and depth of the prior analytical meditation. Therefore, Lama Tsongkhapa is saying here very clearly to us, the very best way to achieve liberation is to cultivate placement meditation, which comes about in dependence on extensive analytical meditation.
当然这个结婚前人家没去结婚结婚人家来都去那盘多要了去去嘛都结婚去都送去许多的当然这样这个没那么开始去送那送别干不了我在这刚刚上当于结婚前后要么在你把这些没就搞不见呢也不要了下去送到永固了吧既然这些送的对当然都过用的那么上我在这那么的都去写信没都这个 这人们觉得送药的那种东西都是三百个那么长啊这个军区去啊当地那个三百块钱人家全部有了吧那这是三十七五块的现在人民给去送药用过的本来俺这个米开歇了呀这个我在叫俺爷爷打的刚刚东阿有三百多块钱啊当俺几乎没有的了人家三百多的都入住的三百个但人家三百的几乎没有的去年俺做没的刚刚讲讲写有的三百三百去年对面把这用过了吧米 미직지 제가
it's my hope then that it's very clear to you what Lama Tsongkhapa's presentation is on the great benefits and the great advantage of first engaging in extensive analytical meditation prior to striving for calm abiding. That being said, though, and whilst this is the skillful way to proceed, there certainly are teachers who say the opposite to this. So Lama Tsongkhapa has presented many reasons explaining very clearly why this is the way to proceed. But there are teachers who say, no, start first with cultivating calm abiding. This needs to be the beginning point. Focus on placement meditation. So when you hear about such a teacher, do not criticize that teacher, because this is very easy to do. This teacher, you have the view that this teacher clearly doesn't understand Lama Tsongkhapa's thoughts, this teacher clearly is mistaken, uneducated, and so forth. It's very easy to criticize. Do not do that. To criticize others serves you no benefit to you. Criticizing others only incurs faults. Rather, just consider that I do not know this teacher's motivation, so I'm just going to presume the best. I'm going to presume that they are acting with a good motivation, and they are acting with skillful means to help those who are desperate to suppress their suffering, to suppress their manifest suffering, and therefore to ease their suffering. This teacher is skillfully guiding them to first cultivate calm abiding, and then when they have some success, the student has some success in this, they will have that as a basis for faith in their teacher, and will then be ready to be guided by this teacher in the various topics of the Lamrim, and meditate on them with analysis. So this is a skillful way for a practitioner to respond to others. There's no need to criticize. There's no need to, because if you're criticizing, you're looking down on them. And this is not skillful. Rather, just assume the teacher has a good motivation, and they are using skillful means to help those who need to be helped in that way. And then let it go, rather than focusing on faults, perceived faults in others. So thank you. We can conclude there for this morning. But if you have questions, then please feel free to ask. Steve at the back.
In this text by Tsongkhapa, is there a heading called Faults of Samsara?
So in this text, is there a heading called The Faults of Samsara? So the answer is yes, it comes later in the training shared with a practitioner of intermediate capacity. So starting from chapters 11, suffering, mental affliction, cyclic existence and liberation. So it's in there.